Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We started this last year, and we thought it was a rousing success. It was the opportunity in our owners series to talk with the owners of each of the major pro sports franchises in town, and this guy was a part of it last year. We're very happy that he's able to join us again this year. The owner of the Boston Bruins, Jeremy Jacobs, joins us right now. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hi, how are you, Dale?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Jeremy, Michael Holly here. What's going on?
Hi, Michael. What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on? Tell me about it.
Everything's on the radio. You just listen to the radio. You'll figure out what's going on.
Is that right? We know everything? We
can. You sure told me you did.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you give me part ownership, I'll take 2 or 3% of the Bruins, man. I have you guys in the cup finals in a year or two.
I hope so. I'd like the way you're thinking.
We'll go league-wide a little bit later on. I want to start with your team in particular here, the Boston Bruins. And you've had about 10 months thereabouts of this management regime. Peter Chiarelli is your general manager and Dave Lewis as your head coach. How do you assess, less than a year into this?
Oh, less than a year into this. I think it's a team in transition right now. It's got a lot of things that it needs to do to make themselves competitive at this point. I think Peter was handicapped coming in the way he did. And I think we all recognized that back when it happened, that it would be difficult for him to put his organization in place. And I think he's still evolving that. I don't think that he's unhappy with the situation we found ourselves in last year, and he doesn't want a repeat of it. And it's his objective to make a change. So that's how I see it from ownership standpoint. I know I've given him the tools to do this, and he's got carte blanche on the people end of it. So he has to make this thing work.
Jeremy, we've talked for a couple of years about changing the culture of the organization, and both Peter and Dave have said that the culture is slowly changing. From your perspective, what are some of the tangible improvements that the organization has made to make it a very pleasant place?
Pleasant.
Pleasant or better. Better place.
Pleasant pleasant is our objective is obviously to win, and if part of winning makes you have to make it more desirable place to work, and I think that is true. There are just a number of things that they did, but Charlie is much better equipped to answer that, but there are a number of things that they've done to reach out to their constituency, both public and from a player standpoint, much more than I'm aware of. But he was going through iterations to me of improvements that he's done to make it more desirable to play in Boston. And to an extent, that has happened. The people do say it's a more comfortable place to play and it's more open. I think it's less dictatorial than it has been in a lot of ways, but that's you want to listen to your players, you want to hear what they've got to say, and you want to respond to it where it makes sense. That seems to be what's going on right now, and I think they've got that job going.
Well, you said it's a number of things. How about just tell us a couple? Charlie is better at it, but
talk to Charlie about it. That's what I tell you right now on that. I'm just not in a position. I know they made some physical changes to the dressing room and all and those facilities. I know we've got we're constantly looking at upgrades like that. I know that they changed the transportation facilities that they had, the planes that they used and stuff like that are more attractive to the players and more comfortable. Those are things that have happened that I know right off the top, but I don't know. My list is much shorter than his.
The knock for years, and you heard it and maybe even embraced it at times, was that the Bruins weren't going to spend money the way everybody else did. In a salary cap era, I find it ironic when I looked at the most recent numbers, I think you're actually slightly over the cap right now, which is something that has to be addressed.
Right.
Does a salary cap make it equal? Because it doesn't seem to be that way yet.
It's equal, and that is the issue we have. We're not competing on the same basis competitively as the number of other teams are. If you look at our division and you look at the amount of money we spent, I think we were probably the highest spending group in our whole division. So maybe Toronto was a little over us, but I don't think so. So quite honestly, you can no longer go out and just buy talent as you once did. You have to manage it better, and that's where I think we have not shown the ability to create from our payroll base the quality of play that other people are able to do. I mean, we got beat by teams like Buffalo that were substantially below us. I think Ottawa was below us on payroll. There aren't many that are in our area. Maybe Jersey's the only one that may be above us. So it wasn't for spending money. You can't buy these teams. You got to manage it better, and that's what we did not do.
Jeremy, I remember the day in April I was doing the show, and Dale wasn't here. He took the day off, as he often does, as a slacker. But that day, I read a story in the Boston Globe by Kevin Paul DuPont, and I was convinced that Dave Lewis was going to be fired based on some comments that I read from you. What were you trying to say in that article? Because obviously Dave Lewis was not fired, but it seemed like the skids were greased for this guy to lose his job. What were you trying to say in that article to DuPont?
Gee, I don't remember it.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have it right in front of me, but I'll say you said something to the effect of, if Peter Chiarelli wants to fire Dave Lewis, he has my permission to do it, and we've talked about this before, and I've said to him,
okay.
He has the right to do it.
Okay. He has full right to hire and fire anybody in that organization. I am not protecting a single person. The only person he cannot do that is my son Charlie or Harry Sinden. Those are the only two people that are not, and they're not in the line of his command or things he's doing. No, he has a full license. He puts those people in place, and that's his responsibility. And I reiterated that more than once, and it was clearly misconstrued, and probably by the way I put it, not by Kevin. He has that right to do it, and he does. He continues to. So I mean, those people are work for him, not for me, and that's the difference that I think I'm trying to make.
Well, just a follow up then, Jeremy. How would you assess the job done by Dave Lewis this year?
I have to look to Peter and understand totally what's going on there, but he clearly wasn't successful this year. It was not, and successful in the sense on the ice, and that's the proof of where it's going to wind up being. So Peter has to be convinced that's going to be changed.
We talked to Steve Pagliuca yesterday, one of the owners of the Celtics, as
right.
part of this series, and commiserated with him a little bit about the NBA draft lottery. But in a roundabout sort of way, it affected you as well. As the
yes.
owner of the building,
yeah.
It affects Delaware North, I won't say as much as the Celtics, but in a roundabout way, it affects you as well.
Yeah, and they are trying, and they're doing everything possible to build themselves, you know, a winning and sustainable team. And you really feel very badly for the fact that the lottery, they weren't successful in the lottery. You know, you had such great hopes about that, you know, coming up and getting a star. Now, I don't know if they're able to find a star player at where they wind up, fifth. And I don't know if they'll be able to get that kind of player at that point. I don't know how deep this pool is, but if it's deep enough, they could wind up, you know, with that kind of player. But I'm not in a position to assess that.
But let's talk about the building. I mean, you've got luxury suites to sell. You've got club seating to sell. You've got those new clubs at the end of the building there, the restaurants, the sports
yep.
deck. The success of your franchise and the success of the Celtics franchise are really tied together in that respect. How has this adversely affected business for you?
It makes it more difficult to sell, clearly, and if my team starts performing, we'll fill those areas. There's no doubt about it. If the Celtics start performing, they'll fill those areas. Either one of these teams or both of them playing good basketball or good hockey will make that building sing. And we know that going in. We've seen it historically. We've seen lows before over the years. So this is not a new thing to the sport in Boston, but it is new in the recent years that both teams are on a downward have been in a downward trend over the last period of time. They look for hope through the draft because the draft in basketball is so so meaningful as their sole resource or their main resource. We have probably more of a fluid situation when it comes to trading and all. And as we see in our game, it isn't. It's more than just trying to buy it because you can't do that anymore, and you've got to be able to manage this. We don't lack the skill in this team. There's a vast amount of underperformance, and that's I'm very critical of. Insofar as the quality of play hasn't been there.
Now, Jeremy, the Celtics were one of the worst teams in the NBA last year, second worst team in the NBA statistically, at least. And I believe they outdrew you guys last year. What else do the Bruins need to do besides victories to win fans back?
I don't know whether what you just said is correct or not, but I do agree with you. What we have to do is perform better. We have to. If we perform well, the fans of Boston will be there. They always have been historically, and I think they will continue to be. I know they will be. I mean, I would be more concerned if I had a successful franchise in performance line and didn't have the kind of response that I think the city would show. But historically, this town really pops when you perform. I mean, they do it for every other sport, and they did historically for the Bruins for many, many years.
Turning our attention briefly more league-wide, you're a strong voice in National Hockey League circles.
Right.
I have been critical of the NHL's national television package. I don't think it helps the league attain a spot in the American psyche on what I believe is perceived to be a second-rate TV network. Do you disagree with that?
You know, you have to deal with the realities of where we were and the way that we were being perceived and treated in the deal coming forward. We wound up with the best relationship that we could have, within that network area, Versus has given us an immense amount of attention, has grown their footprint on a regular basis, consistently, and continues to give us hockey wall to wall, so to speak, during the playoffs. So it's things that we couldn't get done with some of the bigger networks that they've offered to us, and we grabbed onto it. We see them growing and growing at a rather quick rate. So, I mean, based on that, I agree with you. They don't have the visibility or the whatever you would call it, of other carriers. But they are the best out there for our product at this point.
Do the national TV ratings concern you?
Oh, sure. They concern everybody. I've seen a diminution across the board in all major sports, which is, I think, an interesting phenomenon that's happening. But we've seen that growing a little bit for hockey.
And Jeremy, we talked about this before. Is it too simplistic to say the NHL opted to be a big fish in a small pond versus rather than a small fish in the network pond, which is ESPN, ABC?
I think that when there was more focus on serving the basketball public in ESPN than there was in serving the hockey public at a national level. And to that end, we were able to get a relationship that really focused on us. When we first started with ESPN, and my memory is not really great on this, and the commissioner would know a whole lot more about it than I do, but we were promised a relationship that was pretty, it was really what we felt would grow the sport. They then, partway through that relationship, cut a deal with basketball and committed a great resource to it. So we were obviously becoming a very, very minor player in that, or we were being reduced. And so we looked for a relationship that would, one, either reaffirm what they had committed originally or get another relationship that they would focus on us.
I happen to think this is going to be a pretty good Stanley Cup Final Series from an entertainment point of view. As a hockey fan, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yes.
I'm disappointed that there's a six-day gap before it starts. Whatever momentum may have been built leading up to it, I'm afraid might be kicked away by waiting for 6 days to start it.
And your point is?
why do you think, well, I'm asking you to answer for someone else.
Yeah,
why did we have to wait 6 days to play game one?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't disagree with you. I I'm as equally interested as you are in that. I just don't, you know, I wish they were going every day now, but, cause I miss seeing the content. I got into a rhythm, you know, I watched the only person that likes this is my wife because they don't stay up all night, watching it. But, I'll tell you, it's a very good point. I wish we didn't have it. I think there's probably some building commitments and as well as TV commitments that are affecting this. I'm just taking that for granted, and I think the second is probably the most important. That this is what the commitment has been on to the market, to the TV market. Because I think all of these are going to be handled on national TV on NBC.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and they probably found these windows to be the best. I think you're going to see the same. In fact, I know you see the same in basketball, where there's sort of this long wait and pause in between, which nobody likes. I agree with you.
Look, the cynic in me says NBC wanted to get out of the May sweeps month before they started showing games on NBC.
I can't answer that. I don't know. Nobody has seen I don't think basketball nor hockey have seen any great numbers that they want to carry forward with.
Now, Jeremy, you're a big fan of horses, correct?
Yeah.
That's what I read in your bio. I've been doing a little research here.
Hey, that's good.
It is good. It's a switch for me. Now, as much as you love horses, I'm sure you weren't excited about an overtime playoff hockey game being preempted for pre-show coverage of a horse race. Were there any discussions about that among owners? Did you talk with the commissioner? I mean, this seems pretty outrageous.
No, your answer is no. I didn't talk to the commissioner, and I saw it. You know, obviously, I saw it when it was the event happened, and I've seen handoffs before. I mean, if you watch any of it's not outrageous in the sports world, and you know it. If you're a sports fan, you watch golf, and you see golf being handed off every week in one form or another. But I don't disagree with you that I don't like it. And I wish it didn't happen.
I don't think it's ever happened. I don't think I've ever seen it in a playoff situation. Let's say it's golf. Let's say it's the Masters.
I've seen
Tiger,
it.
Tiger Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
17. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're tied up and you go away.
It happens. Believe me, it happens. But I'm not going to give you instances because I don't have them on my, right in front of me. But it does happen. And I share your outrage, but unfortunately I watch a lot of golf. And that happens to me every week, and I get a little mad at it, too. But I switch over to the Golf Channel and pick it up, or wherever they tell me to. As they said, they handed off the Versus. It's supposed to have been seamless, but it wasn't, as I understand. But this is not, I mean, it's indignity aside, this is not necessarily without precedent, is what I'm saying.
There is a rather large real estate development that has always been planned as part of the TD Bank North Garden footprint,
right.
the area there. I've read in the papers recently where you are preparing, your company preparing to kind of get more involved in this and get more things going. Where does all that stand?
It's, again, I'm going to defer to my son because he is hands-on involved in that. It's progressing, at glacial speed, I must admit. Whenever we look at real estate opportunities that the company has, and there are a number of them, and we start to rate them from 1 to 10, the first one is always going to go is the TD Bank North, real estate that was adjoined it. And that was, before the big dig, and then during the big dig, and then after the big dig, and it hasn't popped. And I think that the project is pretty big. That was the overall project is a very large one. But it hasn't unfolded in the timeliness. On the other hand, it apparently from Charlie and the rest is they're telling me is that it's pretty imminent, or I should say imminent. So I think that he can better, he's probably in a better position to talk about it.
Let's go back to Dave Lewis for a second. You said earlier that he was not successful in his first season, and many Bruins fans will agree with you. They didn't make the playoffs. They had some really poor performances down the stretch. In your mind,
that's pretty, and that second part is very disturbing, isn't it? I mean, to me, and I think as you as a fan would feel too. I mean, and I think that leads to a lot of questions that have to be satisfied, that Dave has to be satisfied with, and I'm sure he is. I mean, you know, Dave knows that I'm talking to you today, and he knows that I shouldn't say Dave. I should say Peter knows it, and he knows that he is very much on the spot, and in determining the direction of this club.
What does on the spot mean? I was just going
to
ask you. You
he has on the spot is that he's put in the position of making the decisions as to how he faces the future of this team, and who leads it and how it gets led. In other words, it's his decision. In that article, I said it's up to Dave, as you know, and quantified. That article said it's up to Peter, and I'm sorry I keep you. Peter's responsibility and authority has to do with the leadership of this team, and he has to appoint who he wants to have lead it. If he gets comfortable with Dave, I support him as I would any of the leaders of any of the interests I might hold. And I support him in this going forward.
You made it very clear. This is Peter Chiarelli's baby. It's his decision to make. But it sounds like if Dave Lewis has another non-playoff season in 2007-2008, he won't be around for year three of that contract. Is that fair to say?
You're saying it.
Right, I am saying it.
I think he would have a lot of explaining to do. I do agree. I agree with that.
I do want to ask you, and I know we've got to let you go here, but going into last season, based on how the off season went, what were your expectations for your team?
Oh, I was definitely a playoff in second round. I mean, look at the combination of people we put in there, with the Chara pickup, with the Savard pickup, with people like Bergeron and Murray and Sturm, and then Phil Kessel coming in as well as he did. I had every reason to believe, and I think all of us did, had every reason to believe that this team should perform a heck of a lot better than they did.
But the flip side is you were the fifth worst team in the league the year before. It's very difficult to go from that position to a second-round playoff team, isn't it?
No. No, that's the great thing about this sport. Not at all. Not at all. I don't think so. And on top of it, we moved. I mean, I can't give you a chapter and verse, but if I start to look at teams around the league, I think you'll see I don't think there's been a time that the Stanley Cup winner and the guy that opposed it, neither one made the playoff the next year. So I mean, that's the interesting part about this game. You know, dynasties are hard to come by today in this sport, and I think that's good in a lot of ways. Everybody's got a shot at it. Simple answer, no.
No, I didn't get that answer. One more time. I'm not sure you're being clear.
Yeah, no, it's probably covering it. Jeremy, we appreciated your participation last year in this series, and we appreciate you joining us again this year. And I hope it's a fruitful off season for all of us who love hockey in this town.
Oh, thank you. And I feel similarly, and I always enjoy chatting with you guys.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Jeremy Jacobs, the owner of the Boston Bruins.
Wow.
Delaware North Company.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.